When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by Fantasy Football Scouts. I'm Mark McGettigan. You'll find me on social media at FPL General. Check out the Tuesday episode if you haven't done so already. This is just going to be a Friday check-in. A few more questions to cover, a few more topics to answer, and I'll give you a rundown of where I'm at with my current transfer thoughts for this weekend and for the next couple of weeks as well. No transfers have been made yet. So mainly listener questions, and then I'll finish off with captaincy, which I think is probably straightforward this week anyway, but we'll touch on a few other options and then possible transfers. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening and leave a 5-star review as well if you enjoy it and you get a chance to do so. Getting straight into the questions, I should say I'm recording this Friday morning quite early, so there hasn't been too many press conferences yet. I've just been getting some of these episodes out earlier on a Friday. It suits me in terms of real life stuff, and also we usually don't get a huge amount of information from managers anyway, or sometimes we get lies which don't help our plans. First question from Cahill Doherty. With only two double gaming players and five players without taking a hit for gaming 29, considering a wildcard 28 versus a free hit in 29, Cahill says it's a tough decision without hindsight. Could wildcard 28 be an option to set up for the run-in? Absolutely. I've seen quite a few people activate the wildcard 28 if it suits their squad. If you, for example, want to really attack Luton and Bournemouth, which I'm not sure is such a good idea, you probably don't want to have five or six of their players longer term. But more so if you're very, very short for 29 and maybe you don't want a free hit that week, or you don't have a free hit available, then wildcard is definitely on the table this game week for a lot of managers. I haven't really considered it because my last, you know, four or five transfers, which I'm going to talk about later, you know, I've been bringing in players like Pau Torres, Ollie Watkins, brought in the two Tottenham attackers last week. So I've been gearing towards getting through 29 without the free hits. And that also means I'm not planning to wildcard until 30 or 31. But certainly, if you look at your team for 28, 29 and beyond, and if you feel like a wildcard will give you an edge over the next few weeks and set you up for the rest of the season, then there's absolutely no reason not to do it if your squad needs it. Question from Simon King. Before I get to Simon's question, I should go back to the first one because it was basically considering wildcard 28 versus free hit 29, and obviously that's a very difficult thing to answer without seeing the actual team here, but there's plenty of different approaches. We've been saying it for a couple of weeks. There's no right or wrong approach here. You can wildcard 28, free hit later. If you think you can get through the next week or two, then of course you can keep the free hit for later in the season and maybe the wildcard as well. So just do what feels right for your team. Whether you wildcard in 28 or you free hit in 29 instead, then it's up to you, of course. And of course, you're not going to wildcard 28 and then free hit 29. I think that's very unlikely. If you're wildcarding in 28, you set yourself so you can get through 29 and have that powerful free hit chip for later. And you don't have to have 11 players in 29, even if you're wildcarding this week. You'll certainly have 9 or 10, I would imagine. But, you know, don't cut corners just to make sure you have 11 in what could be a pretty low scoring game week. Simon King, two questions. The first one, if you're on free hit 29, who are the players to look at bringing in this week? Not necessarily the double game week ones, with a plan to keep them for game week 30 until around 34 or 35. So I've tried to pick out a few questions this week that, or today's episode, that are not completely geared towards Luton and Bournemouth, because that's been done to death this week in terms of content elsewhere and on the Tuesday episode. So these are quite refreshing to kind of think longer term. Simon is going to free hit in 29, so doesn't need to worry about that game week. So basically you're looking at game week 28 and then 30 onwards. So which players and teams should we target with our transfers, or when it comes to wildcarding for those of us who still have it, you know, what is the core of the team going to look like? So first of all, just keeping things very simple, we've got three teams at the top of the league fighting it out: Arsenal, Manchester City and Liverpool. I want to have as many assets from those teams as possible for the run-in, so I think you start there. And I know the fixtures for some of those teams are not fantastic, and obviously some of them blank in 29 as well, so you've got to factor that in. But overall, if we think of the overall picture and we erase Luton and Bournemouth players from our minds, we want to have as many of the best players from the best teams as possible, just keeping fantasy as simple as it can be. So that's what I'd be thinking longer term. Tottenham also come into it, but it's more so their attackers than their defenders. So, you know, Son, Madison, Richarlison, whenever he's fit again, I think there's plenty of options there. I think some free hitters in 29 might even go for a Timo Werner up front, which, again, if you're going to own Timo Werner at any point, it is ideally just for one game week, and you can get the hell out of there again afterwards. Elsewhere, thinking longer term, Cole Palmer at Chelsea, left my team a few weeks ago, very likely to come back in soon, if not on the wild card in 30 or 31. Eze at Crystal Palace, I like if you are free hit 29, because Eze and Palace have very good fixtures, 28, 30 and 31, so have a look at that. Maybe even a cheap defender like Munoz, who I mentioned on the Tuesday episode, good attacking numbers from his previous club, Genk. Anthony Gordon, a player I regret selling on the wildcard in game week 20. Good chance I go back there at some point. Again, he's a player I think you can buy and have for the long term. And also a cheap striker, Muniz at Fulham. He's only about 4.5. Again, if you're in a 3-5-2 formation, which I think a lot of people will be soon, once we get Solanke's double game week out of the way, for example, then Muniz is great value as an 8th attacker. So there's a few names that maybe are not being mentioned too much on content this week. Simon's second question: would you do Areola or Dubravka out for a Neto or Kaminski with the plan as above to keep them for 5 or 6 weeks or more? So again, remember, Simon's going to free hit in 29, so doesn't need to worry about a goalkeeper that week, can pick anyone he wants. If I was sitting on an Areola or Dubravka this week, would I make a transfer for a double gamey goalkeeper who I then probably use, or not necessarily use, because Areola, Dubravka are goalkeepers who play for the respective teams. You could go into a rotation after the double game week this week. I think if it's a free transfer, it sounds good. I mean, Areola's absolutely fine to start this week because he's at home to Burnley. I'm going to be doing so, but again, I'm never filled with confidence in terms of West Ham's potential to keep clean sheets this season. So if you don't have other issues and you can get a free transfer to get a Neto, who's got very good fixtures in the double, you know, Bournemouth's fixtures are better than Luton's this week, then you don't need to worry about a goalkeeper 29 because you're going to free hits. Then if you compare Neto to Kaminski, Kaminski looks good short term, but if you look a bit further ahead, Luton between game week 30 and 33, which is 4 game weeks, Luton will play Tottenham, Arsenal and Manchester City. So again, that's another reason why you don't really want to be tripling up on Luton for the long term. They're fine for the double game week, of course, but you want to be able to get away from them pretty quickly. Useful in 29 also, of course, if you're not free hitting. But certainly on the goalkeeper question, Neto looks good. Good double game week fixtures. If you don't need him in 29, then you can use him afterwards as well, maybe in a rotation with whichever one of Areola or Dubravka you keep. And maybe it's a case of getting the fixture ticker up, look at the Bournemouth fixtures and see which team they match up best with. Do they match up with West Ham or Newcastle? So yeah, I don't mind it. And even for a -4, is it crazy to get Neto for a -4? I don't think so. If you don't want to play Dubravka, I think it's Chelsea this week, if you fancy Burnley to score against West Ham, then you can of course take a -4 there for a double game week goalkeeper. Question from Cruninho: is Haaland to Morris a good idea, especially if it frees up funds to get Mohamed Salah? Big question. Again, I always think if you asked me at the start of the season, Would there ever be a question being submitted asking is Erling Haaland to a Luton striker a good idea? The answer would most of the time be no. But a lot of people are considering it this week, myself included. I think more so if you are not planning to free hit in 29, this is attractive. I say attractive, it's at least viable. I don't want to go as far as saying it's attractive. What a lot of people, you'll hear a lot of people saying, you know, you can get rid of Haaland, who's got one game away to Liverpool, where you can get Morris, who's got three games in the next two game weeks. I'm trying to be careful with that kind of thought process because I'm trying to look at it more so as one game for Haaland this week versus two games for Morris this week, because obviously you've got transfers that you could go different routes. For example, I could do Haaland to Morris this week, probably a minus four. But an alternative would be keep Haaland for the Liverpool game and then get Ivan Toney instead of Morris next week. So that's kind of a different scenario. And to me, that's not as much a, you know, a one versus three. Or people who are looking a little bit longer term, if they're including game week 30 in this, it's two games for Haaland versus four games for Morris. So it's a 1v3 or a 2v4. But again, I think you can talk yourself into that and convince yourself it's a one versus three. Whereas if you tweak your transfers a wee bit, maybe it's not so much. And you can get a, you know, a very good player in Ivan Toney for game week 29 instead. And my scenario, what I'm thinking as well is on the Ivan Toney situation. If, for example, I did Haaland to Morris this week, if I want Toney in 29, then I have to sell Solanke next week. Whereas Solanke plays at home to Everton in game week 30, which I quite like. So that's pushing me back towards keeping Haaland for Liverpool, hoping he can match or outscore Morris this week. And then I go Ivan Toney in 29, and that allows me to also have Solanke for game week 30. Now, all of this is wrapped up in when I wildcard, because if I'm leaning towards a 31 wildcard, but if I bring the wildcard forward a week to game week 30, that obviously influences all of this as well. And Simon mentioned about, it wasn't Simon, Cruninho mentioned about, is it okay to sell Haaland if it allows you to get Salah back? And again, that was factoring into my thinking. I was like, right, I'll just get rid of Haaland. He's got difficult fixtures. He's got a blank. And then I can get Salah game week 30 with a transfer for captaincy against Brighton. But again, I'm talking myself into that. Whereas there's another scenario where I just wildcard in 30 instead of 31. And then Salah comes in with a wildcard instead of a transfer. So you can write your own narrative on this, and I think it's dangerous. So be very, very careful is what I would say on a decision to sell a Haaland for a Morris. Now, I still might go ahead and do it. It is a minus four, but I really need to try and figure out how likely it is that I'll wildcard in 30 versus 31, and how much do I want Ivan Toney for 29, for example, or do I just gamble, get Morris for four game weeks, lose Haaland for the Liverpool and Arsenal fixtures, and then see how it shakes out. And it might shake out fairly similarly. So it's not straightforward, as you can tell. So good luck with the decision. And I wish myself good luck with the decision tonight as well. Question from FPL Himbo. Who to drop for Alfie Doughty? Ake or Estupinan? Estupinan needs to go. I've been telling myself for that for weeks. And I haven't done the move yet, but I'm 100% selling Estupinan tonight for Alfie Doughty. So Ake, again, going back to the previous question, longer term, which teams do we focus on? We focus on the top teams. Ake will probably be a fairly decent pick longer term, maybe, you know, 30 to 38 or 31 to 38. So I think you can hold on to him more so. And Estupinan needs to go because we can't rely on him. Even though he didn't play Europe, people might think, right, he starts the weekend, but again, you're building a narrative for yourself, and it doesn't always work out like that, because if he's not playing against Roma, he's not in the best 11. So longer term, Estupinan is no longer reliable. Alfie Doughty comes in very good this week for a double and suits me as well, of course, because I'm not free hitting in 29. I'm just going to jump back quickly to the Morris versus Haaland question because I forgot to read through a few notes. Just again, food for thought for people. Erling Haaland has one double-digit score in his last six matches. The fixtures are Liverpool away, blank, Arsenal home. The Morris fixtures are Palace away, Bournemouth away in a double, Nottingham Forest at home in blank game 29, and then Tottenham away. So there is three away fixtures out of four for Morris when Haaland plays Liverpool away and Arsenal at home. So again, I really don't think there will be a huge amount of difference in points between those two if you look at it for the next two or three game weeks. It just, you know, it depends how you're feeling. And of course, the thing we probably do need to factor is Haaland's ownership remains extremely high, even if he won't be captained by as many people this week. And when he plays Arsenal, he's still going to be captained by a fair few in the overall landscape, if we take away the Twitter bubble, for example. So if Haaland does manage to score a brace against Liverpool and get something against Arsenal as well, Morris really needs to deliver. And do you want to be relying on a Luton forward to deliver, or do you want to back arguably the best striker in the world, even though the fixtures are difficult, to continue getting goals? So again, not a straightforward decision. Question from FPL Showroom. If you own double Arsenal defence, would you bench one of them for a Bournemouth defender? Good question. A lot of people are on Saliba, Gabriel. A few people have probably picked up the likes of Kiwior recently, maybe even Ben White as well. Mine's just slightly different because I've got Raya and Gabriel, but I like this question. That's why I included it. So this week, let's say you've got Saliba and Gabriel. Do you play both of them at home to Brentford? Or do you bench one of them and play someone like a Zabarni or a Kerkez at home to Sheffield United and Luton? Again, I don't think this is a straightforward answer, but I would lean towards hedging the bets a wee bit. I would probably play Gabriel because to me he's more of a goal threat than Saliba, even though they're both pretty decent goal threats. I think I would play Gabriel and the Bournemouth defender, whichever one you have. If it's Zabarni, for sure. Kerkez, maybe I'd be a little bit more reluctant because slight rotation concerns there. Yeah, and if it's someone other than those two who are not secure for minutes, then I would play Saliba as well. But I think I would go Gabriel and Zabarni, who's probably the most popular. If I had Kerkez, I'd probably play him as well. At the end of the day, FPL should be fun. If you have a double game week defender who plays Sheffield United and Luton and you don't play them, what's the point? So I think you play your Bournemouth defenders if you have them this week. Question, and again, on the Arsenal thing, you know, I keep mentioning Ivan Toney. I just rate him so highly. When a defence comes up against an Ivan Toney, I'm going to back Toney all the time to get on the score sheet. So there may not be an Arsenal clean sheet this weekend, even though they've been so good this year. Question from FPL Bandini. Bowen in for Odegaard for a -4. FPL Bandini says, Bowen has a game in 29 and he's got Burnley this week, but Arsenal are of course flying. So what do I do? Those of you who are looking at Bowen, I think you've got to try and get him this week for the Burnley fixture. You know, if you're looking at Bowen in 29, then you've got to try and get him in this week if you can. I mean, I might buy him in 29, but the reason I'm not doing it this week is because I'd probably have to sell Foden, which I'm not prepared to do. But if you've got an asset that's maybe not as good as Foden, you can certainly move for Jared this week to try and take advantage. You know, Bowen might blank in 29, but he might get a brace against Burnley. So you want to have him for the best fixture. In terms of the Bowen for Odegaard -4, wouldn't be overly keen on that because Arsenal are on fire. They've started to score a lot more goals recently. In the last four game weeks, Odegaard has averaged 9 points per game. So at home to Brentford, I would fancy Odegaard to be among the attacking returns again there. And when if it was a free transfer, it would be easier to do the Bowen move. But when it's a -4, to me, that screams one that could backfire. Who knows? Maybe Bowen does blank against Burnley. Let's face it, he plays for West Ham. Odegaard plays for Arsenal. You know, which team are going to probably score more goals? It could be Arsenal, even though the fixture's maybe not as easy as West Ham. So basically, short answer, keep Odegaard. Don't sell him for a hit. Question from FPL Pitch. Muniz or Awoniyi for game week 29 to 31. So both players have a fixture in blank game week 29. Surprised me looking at their numbers for the season. Awoniyi has played 90 minutes on just one occasion this season. So he's been in and out of the team a bit. He's had injuries. There has been times recently where he's been on the bench where I expected him to be in the starting 11. And Muniz just seems pretty secure at the moment and playing extremely well. And he's been very impressive up front for Fulham. So I would go Muniz over Awoniyi for the next couple of game weeks. Another good question came in from FPL Bafana. Last season, it was my impression that you made steady progress with consistent green arrows after the World Cup by playing a conservative game. The past few weeks, you seem to have opted for a riskier game with several hits. Is there any reason for this, other than every season being different? Good question, and it triggered me to go and have a look at the last few weeks and in terms of hits over the course of the season. So at the game week 25 point, I had only taken two hits all season, two minus fours. And over the last three game weeks, it's been minus four, minus eight, minus four. And there's possibly more hits to come in 28 and 29. So basically, I took the approach of not free hitting and not wildcarding and just getting comfortable with taking a few hits instead to get me through this period and take a few red arrows on the chin, and then hopefully a sprint finish with wildcard, free hit, bench boost, you know, in the last seven or eight game weeks of the season. So any red arrows I get now, I'm confident I can get them back and more for the final chunk of the season. When I go into any season, I kind of have a loose strategy or loose plan of kind of a maximum of minus 20 in hits over the season, but I don't include blanks and double game weeks in the period around that, because sometimes you just need to take them to prepare. And the other thing is, sometimes you just get injuries and hits are inevitable. So I had a wee look to see, you know, I've had three red arrows in a row. I've taken hits in three game weeks in a row, and I wanted to see how linked they were. And I don't think they're massively linked, because quite a few of the players I brought in actually performed well, and I sold injured players, for example. So just a quick look. Game week 25, I took a minus four. Trent was injured. Sold him and Cole Palmer. Palmer was facing into Manchester City, a blank game week, and a likely second blank game week as well, which has now transpired. So two blank game weeks for Palmer and Manchester City, and he hasn't done much in that time. So selling Trent and Palmer's been fine. Brought in Gabriel, which was fixing a mistake from the wild card, which has paid off. Brought in Kevin De Bruyne that week because he had a double, and of course that didn't go to plan. So they were logical moves. Absolutely fine with that, minus four in hindsight. Game week 26, I made three moves for a minus eight. I sold Gusto, Jota and Darwin. Jota and Darwin both injured after the double game week, so makes sense to sell them. Brought in Pau Torres with one eye on good fixtures and another eye on game week 29. So this is the start of me taking a few hits to get more players for 29. Torres obviously been a bit of a disaster, but I'm still hoping he will start when game week 29 rolls around. Torres came in, Huang came in, and you'll remember it was a Huang versus Douglas Luiz decision. Obviously fell on the wrong side of variance on that one with the Huang injury, because I wanted Huang for Sheffield United and for Fulham this week, but of course he picked up the injury, so he went. He came in 26, and Ollie Watkins came back in as well, which obviously was a good move. So Pau and Huang haven't worked out, but Watkins did. Pau hopefully will still work out. And then game week 27, it was a minus four. De Bruyne and Huang went out. Huang injured. Kevin De Bruyne underperforming and not getting enough minutes. And in came Son and Madison for a minus four. De Bruyne blanked. Huang didn't play. And both Tottenham players delivered. I captained Son to double those points as well. So on the face of it, there's quite a few hits recently. But overall, I'm quite happy looking back on those that they were at the time logical decisions. Yes, injuries and stuff like that have been a bit of a nightmare. The only one maybe that you could say maybe was a mistake was Pau Torres. Maybe I was a bit too quick to jump in there when he was just coming back from injury himself. So that maybe there's some learning there for the future. But again, just because I've had three red arrows in 3 weeks where I've taken hits, that's not going to stop me. If I think a minus four or a minus eight makes sense this week, I will do it. And likewise in 29. When I play my wild card in 30 or 31, what you'll probably see then for the rest of the season is back to normal and not very many hits at all. Before I get into captaincy and transfers, a quick Patreon plug, patreon.com/FPL General. If you want to support me as a full-time FPL content creator and get extra FPL content along the way, patreon.com/FPL General. Captaincy this week, I think it's Solanke. I don't think anyone should really go elsewhere unless you want to be different for the sake of being different, or you're chasing and you feel like you need to do something different. Solanke's having a great season. The fixtures don't get any better than Sheffield United and Luton at home. Penalties, talisman, I think it's just an easy decision. So Solanke will be my captain. If you've got triple captain, I would activate it on Solanke this game week. Elsewhere, if you want to be different, I like Morris as a differential captain away to Palace and Bournemouth, but it certainly doesn't feel as good as Solanke. You could go single with Haaland against Liverpool if you think he delivers, Saka home to Brentford, and Bowen home to Burnley. But I am very much in the Solanke camp. Finish up with the bus team and the transfers. Areola's in goal. Gabriel will be at the back. Estupinan will become Alfie Doughty. Big question I have is, do I just play one of Porro, Pau Torres, or Amari Bell? Bell looks like he's injured. Pau's still coming back from injuries, not fully fit yet. Only played 45 in the European game. Porro, I need an update from Postecoglou on Friday to be confident to start him. So I'm very open to a -4 to sell Amari Bell, and that will be either for another Luton defender, or what I also need to look at instead of just being blinkered by the double game week is look at game week 28, 29, 30, and is there a defender I can get who will score more in three games than a Luton defender will score in four. So I'm not going to automatically just buy a second Luton defender. Midfield is fine, Saka, Son, Madison and Foden. Up front, Ollie Watkins, Solanke captain, and Haaland. So two decisions for me. Does Haaland go to Morris for a -4? And does Amari Bell go out for a -4? Do I take a -4? Do I take a -8? Or do I just leave Haaland in? Do I leave Porro and hope he plays? Or Pau Torres? I think I probably will end up taking a -4 in defence because I don't really want to play Porro or Pau anyway. And Bell is unlikely to feature, I would imagine, given the nature of his injury. Yeah, so the main decision will be, will it be Haaland or will it be Morris? And I'm totally split on that. I kind of was all for Morris earlier in the week. I did a live stream last night. I was very much back on just keeping Haaland. And today, I'm conflicted again. So we'll see where I end up on that one. On the bench, Garnacho will be first sub. Game week 28 transfer thoughts. Again, I've just run through those. There is 0.2 million in the bank. I think I've covered everything. I mentioned the Salah factor. I mentioned the wildcard 30 versus 31. So I think we are there for the Game Week 28 preview. Best of luck this weekend, folks. And most importantly, have a great weekend. Do not let FPL impact your mood in your real life. Live in the real world, not the fantasy world, as Dean Smith famously once said. I'll be back next week to review the action and look ahead to blank Game Week 29. Talk to you soon, folks. Sports Social Podcast Network.